जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीर वन चारी, जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीर वन चारी, यमुना तीर वन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, 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 जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रिव्राज आचार्य अस्तोत्र सत श्री श्रीमद् His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaya Charanarvindam Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, BBT Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Guru Brinda Ki Jai, Granthraja, Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Kalachanji Ki Jai, Shri Gaura Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai, Nitai Gaura Premanande Hari. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to you, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Jai. Shri Balaram Jayanti Mahatsava Ki Jai. The holy appearance day of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Balarama Ki Jai. Jai Baladeva Ki Jai. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. We'll be speaking about Lord Balaram as well. But reading today from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 17, entitled Description of the Varnashrama System, Text Number 10. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmei Shri Gurave Namah. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishnam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamanyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripasandubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavinebhya Vaishnavebhya Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Peshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshutarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ado krita yuge varno Ado krita yuge varno Nrinam hamsa iti smitaha Nrinam hamsa iti smitaha Krita kritya praja jatya Krita kritya praja jatya Tasmat krita yugam viduhu Tasmat krita yugam viduhu Ado krita yuge varno Nrinam hamsa iti smritaha Krita krityaha praja jatya Tasmat krita yugam viduhu
Please repeat.
Ado krita yuge varno Nrinang hangsaiti smitaha Krita kritya praja jatya Tasmat krita yugam viduho Dharma Jatya Tasmat kritang yugam viduho. Ado, in the beginning of the millennium, krita yuge, in the satya yuga, or age of truth, varnaha, the social class, nrina, of human beings, hangsaha, named hangsa, iti, thus, smitaha, well known, krita krityaha, perfect in the execution of duties, by complete surrender to the Supreme Lord, prajaha, the citizens, jatya, automatically by birth, tasmat, therefore, Krita Yuga, or the age in which all duties are fulfilled, Viduhu was thus known by the learned. Translation, please repeat after me. In the beginning, in Satya Yuga, there is only one social class called Hangsa, to which all human beings belong. In that age, all people are unalloyed devotees of the Lord from birth, and thus learned scholars call this first age Krita Yuga, or the age in which all religious duties are perfectly fulfilled. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It is understood from this verse that the supreme religious principle is unalloyed surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Satya Yuga, there is no influence of the lower modes of nature, and therefore all human beings belong to the highest social order called Hangsa, in which one comes under the direct supervision of the Personality of Godhead. In the modern age, people are crying out for social equality, but unless all human beings are situated in the mode of goodness, which is the position of purity and unalloyed devotion, social equality is not possible. As the lower modes of nature become prominent, secondary religious principles arise, by which people may be gradually elevated to the pure stage of unalloyed surrender to God. In Satya Yuga, there are no inferior human beings, and thus there is no need of secondary religious principles. Everyone directly takes to the unalloyed service of the Lord, fulfilling perfectly all religious obligations. In Sanskrit, one who perfectly executes all duties is called Krita Kritya, as mentioned in this verse. Therefore, Satya Yuga is called Krita Yuga, or the age of perfect religious action. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the word ado, or in the beginning, refers to the moment of universal creation. In other words, the Varnashrama system is not a recent concoction, but naturally arises at the time of creation and should therefore be accepted by all intelligent human beings. Ado krita yuge varno rinam hangsa iti smitaha krita krityaha praja jatya tasmat krita yugam viduhu. In the beginning, in Sati Yuga, there is only one social class called Hamsa, to which all human beings belong. In that age, all people are unalloyed devotees of the Lord from birth, and thus learned scholars call this first age Krita Yuga, or the age in which all religious duties are perfectly fulfilled. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuranmilitam Yena Tasmei Shri Guruve Namaha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishtaya Bhutale Srimate Tamal Krishna Goswami Nityanam. So, before I say anything about this verse and about Holy Appearance Day of Lord Sri Balaram, I'll read from the Srimad Bhagavata Mahima Stotra by Srila Sanatana Goswami. Sarva Sastra Abdi Pliusha Sarva Vedika Satphala Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadya Sarva Lokeka Drikprada. O nectar from the ocean of all scriptures, singular fruit of all the Vedas, rich mine of the precious gems of all conclusive truths, you are the only giver of light to all the worlds. Sarva Bhagavata Prana, Srimad Bhagavata Prabhu, Kalid Bhantadit Aditya, Sri Krishna Parivartita. O life air of the Supreme Lord's devotees, O life air of all the Supreme Lord's devotees, O Master, Srimad Bhagavatam, you are the sun risen in the darkness of Kali. You are the exact image of Sri Krishna. Paramananda Pathaya, Prema Varshaksharayate, Sarvada Sarva Sevaya, Sri Krishnaya Namostate. I bow down to you, who are supremely blissful to read. Your every syllable pours down a flood of prema. You can always be served by everyone. You are Sri Krishna himself. Madeka bandho mat sangin, mat guru man mahadhana, mat nishtarka mat bhagya, mat ananda namostate. My only friend, my constant companion, my spiritual master, my great wealth, my savior, my good fortune, my source of ecstasy, I bow down to you. Asadhu sadhu tadayin ati nichochatakara ha namuncha kadachin mam premna hrit kanteyospura. O bestower of saintliness to the unsaintly, O exalter of the most fallen, please never leave me. Always appear in my heart and my voice with pure love. Jai Srimad Bhagavata Mahapurana ki jai. So, as we've mentioned a number of times in the past, the 11th canto is the preacher's Bible because it actually contains all information necessary to preach Krishna consciousness. Sometimes devotees wonder, why is it that after the 10th canto, the 11th canto speaks about subject matters like, you're not the body, you are the soul, I'm not the body, I'm the soul. Why does it talk about very basic religious principles, sub-religious principles like that? It is because the 11th canto, amongst other things, Bhakti Charu Maharaj explained very nicely one day, that it is because the Srimad Bhagavatam is not in a chronological order. It's not written in chronological order. It is written for a very important purpose. It is written so that the love that we have in our heart, the dormant love we have in our heart for Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, will naturally reawaken. It's a natural process of reawakening. And natural processes are not necessarily chronological. Chronology deals with time. And as we know, In the spiritual world, time is conspicuous by its absence. So if Krishna is going to pull us out of the material atmosphere and take us to the spiritual atmosphere, he certainly is not going to use time as a process, because in the spiritual world, people live past, present, and future simultaneously. This is an amazing fact. A lot of things cannot be understood about Golok Vrindavan because Golok Vrindavan itself defies logic. How can we say that the whole creation, meaning the whole material world and the whole spiritual world, occupies only that much space in Golok Vrindavan that'll take the point of a needle? That's the amount of space it occupies, the whole material and spiritual world, inside Golok Vrindavan. I mean, how can that even be understood? The mind can never wrap itself around this type of a subject matter. It cannot. The only thing that can wrap itself around is the heart. And that heart is the heart that is purely devotional. It means that it's got pure devotion in it. It is described that even this universe is so large, and our universe is the smallest universe. It is so large that is described to be around 9 million sextillion miles across. 9 million sextillion miles across, which is like, it's an uncanny figure, you know. And by the way, this is not in just three dimensions. This is multidimensional. So if you take it in three dimensions, it's even bigger than that. Because inside a mile, multidimensionally, are many hundreds and thousands of miles in three-dimensional material. It's a little hard to understand. Sorry, I'm getting a little technical here. But the idea is that this is such a vast universe, and yet this universe is actually the smallest universe in all of the universes that are out there. So it is described that when one's heart becomes filled with pure devotion, when we become purely Krishna consciousness, it is said that the whole creation, including the full material world and spiritual world, reside in the heart of the devotee. That the heart of the devotee expands so much that the entire creation fits inside the heart of the devotee, including Golok Vrindavan. And this is an amazing statement. Inside the heart of a devotee. Can you imagine the value of a devotee when that happens? So, in this verse, a very important subject matter is being brought up, because it brings up a very important technical point that can be missed if we don't actually understand and have preached the Bhagavad Gita. Because the Bhagavad Gita is Krishna speaking. The Srimad Bhagavatam is about Krishna. Both of them are considered extremely vital, extremely important for not only understanding Krishna consciousness, but actually sharing Krishna consciousness with others. Because that is what pleases Krishna the most. When we actually share the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam with other persons, then Krishna becomes most pleased. He says, there is nobody who pleases me more than such a devotee. So the technical point made here is that in the beginning, everybody was in the mode of goodness from birth. And they were able to discharge all religious principles perfectly. Now, this is a little hard to understand. The material world is not a perfect place. So to execute something perfectly in an imperfect place is one great achievement. That's a very powerful achievement. We can see in our lives, right? How many years we've been in this movement? 30 years, 40 years in this movement. Some of us may even be there almost 50 years, because we started when Srila Prabhupada arrived here. Yet we know in our hearts that our devotion for Krishna is incomplete. It is not perfect, right? We have so many challenges that we feel in our lives. And often we say to ourselves, actually, I'm not going to be able to be Krishna conscious. Without the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's not going to happen that I'm going to be Krishna conscious. Without the mercy of the devotees, particularly Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Because our process is that we actually get the mercy of Radha and Krishna by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, whose mercy is achieved by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, whose mercy is achieved by the mercy of Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. You know, the spiritual master, the associates of the spiritual master, the acharyas, these are Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. And in our acharyas actually describe that the word Gaura Bhakta Brinda also means ocean of pleasure. So the devotees are the ones who actually give us the pleasure of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. Who gives us the pleasure of Gauranga Mahaprabhu? Who gives us the pleasure of Krishna Balaram, Radha Krishna, Jagannath, Baldev, Subhadra, like that, right? So in Satya Yuga, they were able to discharge these duties perfectly. And yet, Kali Yuga is known as better than Satya Yuga. Why? Because Lord Chaitanya appears in Kali Yuga. That makes it even more powerful. Because it is about the Lord. It is not that all of our endeavor will make us Krishna conscious. What our endeavor does is that it tells Krishna that I am really interested in you. It establishes our intention. It establishes our attitude. We say in this world, attitude is everything, right? So it establishes our attitude. But actually what gives us Krishna consciousness is Krishna himself. Krishna gives us Krishna consciousness, then we have Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it is not possible for us to have Krishna consciousness. And who is the one who gives Krishna consciousness liberally? It's Lord Chaitanya. Gauranga Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself coming to give us the greatest of all gifts, the greatest of all treasures, which is the love that Radharani feels for Krishna. There is nothing, nothing at all that is even remotely equivalent to Radharani's love for Krishna. It is the most exalted of all things, the most exalted of all events, the most exalted of all leelas is actually Radharani's love for Krishna. And that Krishna wants to give us. Imagine how liberal he is, such a nice guy he is, right? Krishna is described as all good. This is his all goodness, to give us that love, which otherwise is no one can have that love, that amount of love for Krishna. He actually comes himself with the mood of Radharani as Gauranga Mahaprabhu and gives us his love. And then what does he do? He explains a very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 66. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma shuchaha. It starts very amazingly when Prabhupada translates this. Prabhupada's translation is an as-it-is translation. It's exactly what Krishna wants. Why? Because Prabhupada wrote what Krishna dictated. There is nothing like that. Prabhupada wrote what Krishna dictated, and Prabhupada said, these purports are my devotional ecstasies because they were directly enunciated by the Lord himself. Dharman tu sakshat Bhagavat Pranitang, right? And how does he translate this verse? No one translated this verse particularly like how Prabhupada did it. What did Prabhupada say? Give up all varieties of religion. Remember, in Satya Yuga, we are saying here that the devotees were fulfilling religious duties perfectly. And here Prabhupada starts by saying, give up all varieties of religion, including the perfect varieties too, right? He doesn't say, give up all imperfect varieties of religion. He says, give up all varieties of religion. And by the way, he makes it even more astonishing by prior to that verse describing religion as what? What does he describe religion as? What is the word he used to describe religion? Sorry? Occupational duties, yeah. He actually describes religion to be love of God. So if you know, in English, there's a way to read grammar in a certain way. Particularly in law, they read grammar like this. If a word has been defined, and that word is used again another time, they'll put the definition there instead of the word to explain the meaning of that sentence, right? So it's like saying, give up all varieties of love of God. I mean, that is a powerful statement if you think about it, man. Love of God is what everything is all about, right? It's the highest thing in creation. Love of God. And then that knocks us out. And then Prabhupada explains it very nicely. What does he say? He says, and surrender unto my lotus feet. Mam ekam sharanam braja. Ekam. Ekam means only my lotus feet. Why would Krishna say that? Is he so insecure? that he just needs everybody at his lotus feet, you know, just stay right here. Let me boss you all around and, you know, control all of you and do whatever I want with you. Is that why Krishna does that? No. Why? He gives a very important clue. What is the clue? The clue is the word vraja. Mam ekam sharanam vraja. Why vraja? He's reminding us of Golok Vrindavan, which is where we came from. So in this Golok Vrindavan, everybody loves Krishna so much that an amazing statement is made, because love is the most powerful thing, right? Why did Krishna create in the first instance? He manifested because he wanted to increase happiness. And the greatest happiness is in the emotion of love, right? So love, by extension, by logic, by descending logic, can be understood to be the most powerful emotion of all emotions. There is nothing more powerful than love. Even Krishna says, nothing in the three worlds defeats me except the love of my devotee. Love defeats Krishna. Nothing else can come anywhere near defeating Krishna. Even in the spiritual, we see sometimes Sridhama and Krishna have a fight, right? Sridhama is Radharani's elder brother, by the way. And Radharani is so beloved to Krishna, he's very cautious with her all the time, because she rejects him very easily. You know, she chases him away very easily. And she's got very powerful assistants, you know, the maidservants. And they're very powerful too, like Lalita, you know, especially Lalita. She doesn't tolerate Krishna, you know. As soon as she sees Krishna, you see a scowl on her face. Oh, the rascal is here again. He's going to do something to Radharani. He's going to do something wrong here. You know, like that. So Krishna can see that. And Krishna is a little afraid of Lalita, you know. If Lalita says something, Krishna will follow, because he knows there's no way he's going to get to Radharani without Lalita. So here is Krishna, who actually wants to be with Radharani, right? And so one way he figures out how I can be really with Radharani is to really please Radharani. And what pleases Radharani the most? What pleases Radharani the most is Krishna himself, right? It's amazing. I mean, this doesn't even make sense when you think about it. Logically, it doesn't make sense. Radharani sort of pushes Krishna away. And on the other hand, the thing that pleases her the most is Krishna. You know? But actually, there is a thing that makes us understand this point. What pleases Radharani the most is when devotees serve Krishna. And she wants those devotees to really, really, really get a lot of pleasure out of that service. She really wants that. That's why Krishna comes as Gauranga Mahaprabhu to give us Radharani's love, because that's going to please us the most, right? That's going to be most pleasing. So we then understand that to get Radharani's love, we have to become the servants of the servants of the servants of the gopis of Braja, right? Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamalayor Das Das Anudasa. So who better to explain this point than Balaram himself? Lord Balaram actually empowers us with Krishna consciousness. Lord Balaram understands this point so much that he himself expands as Ananga Manjari. Who is Ananga Manjari? Ananga Manjari is actually Balaram himself appearing as the younger sister of Radharani. What a smart way to get to Radharani, right? To become the younger sister. Because the older sister will always show a lot of love to the younger sister. The older sister is like a bit of a mother figure to the younger sister, right? And the younger sister gets trained up very nicely. Then everybody thinks the younger sister is the most attractive person. Why? Because of the mercy of the older sister. You know, it's just amazing, right? How this world really works. And here we see this Balaram is actually doing that. And in Gauralila, Lord Balaram appears as Nityananda. And it's described by Radharani in the Rasa Shastras that the one person, when I can't figure things out with Krishna, he just baffles me, you know. I can't understand why he does the things that he does. And it really makes me angry. And then I get very angry, and then we can't sort the problem out. We can't sort the issue out. She says, then I consult Nityananda. I consult with Lord Nityananda. He explains how to deal with Krishna, and then it sorts itself out. Now you'd say, these two leelas are separate, right? Krishna leela in union and Krishna leela or Gauranga leela, which is Krishna leela in separation, are two separate leelas. How do they How do they mix? They do. It's amazing how in Golok Vrindavan, whilst Shvetadvip is in the center of Golok Vrindavan, which is where the Panchatattva perform their pastimes, they often, these pastimes juxtapose with one another. They sort of switch from one to another in a very fluid way, you know. It's seamlessly. That's what the word I was using. They move from one to the other seamlessly. So you can't even tell until something happens that you're now in Gaura Leela, now you're back in Krishna Leela, now you're back in Gaura Leela, now you're back in Krishna Leela, like that, right? And so Balaram, through Lord Nityananda, makes this arrangement so we can understand how powerful Lord Balaram is, right? So Lord Balaram is himself the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Radharani, Balaram, and Krishna are the original Supreme Personality of Godhead in three different bodies. They're three different bodies, but they're the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Lord Balaram, to show us, because he loves us so much, he loves Krishna very much, by the way, and to show us that love, he actually sets the example himself. What is the example that he sets? That although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the elder brother of Krishna. Now, in the elder brother, younger brother situation, it's the younger brother who serves the elder brother. It's a little switch between the male and female side. You know, it's normally the elder sister looks after the younger sister, but in the case of the older sister takes care of the younger sister, but the older sister is considered the senior between the two. In Balaram's case, although he's the older, he considers Krishna the senior. He doesn't see himself as the senior. He sees himself as the servant, and therefore he's showing us by his example that we should also have this mood, that we're always servants of Krishna. So Balaram's father is Vasudeva, as we know, Vasudeva from the pastimes in Mathura. His mother is Rohini Devi. His younger brother is Krishna. His sister is Subhadra. Subhadra is Yogamaya herself. And she's the one who makes all the arrangements. And today, amongst the Indians, they call this day Bhai Dhuj. Bhai Dhuj. Dhuj means second. It's a second day. It's a Dvitiya. You know, they say it's a Dvitiya. Actually, today is Balaram Purnima. But in the Indian calendar, they call it Bhai Dhuj. Actually appears tomorrow, Bhai Dhuj appears tomorrow, but they consider Balaram's appearance day as the day they will do that. And so what they do is, they take this red, string, you know, it's a red string like this. I carry it around with Indian, they look for this all the time, you know, they ask for this. In the morning there were some people here, they asked for this. And what they do is, they tie it on the right hand of Krishna to say, that accept him as his brother, as her brother, as the brother. Of course, the Indians have a little misunderstood the whole thing, because, you know, in Kali Yuga, things get lost a little, right? But actually, when Bhai Dhuj is supposed to happen, when the sister ties the hands, like Subhadra ties this, cord around Krishna's hand, it's because Krishna is her brother. In our case, the ladies should be doing Bhai Dhuj on the basis that we are doing it on behalf of Subhadra. We're doing it on behalf of Yogamaya. If on behalf of Yogamaya you tie the cord around Krishna and Balaram, then how much mercy we'll get of Yogamaya? Because Yogamaya will say, now you've understood this properly. Why are you trying to become a direct sister of Krishna and Balaram when actually you have yet to get the mercy of your own spiritual master, right? So how can you approach Krishna and Balaram unless you have the mercy of Gaura Nityananda? And how can you approach Gaura Nityananda without the mercy of the spiritual master in Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, right? And we really don't have that mercy. We may think we have that mercy. We don't. So we don't ever do things directly. We do things as a representative of somebody, on behalf of somebody. Just like when you do deity worship, you don't directly start worshipping Kalachanji, you first offer the worship to the spiritual master, right? Why? Because we're saying it is the spiritual master who can do the worship. We're worshipping through the spiritual master, the deities. You get the idea? So the same thing should be done on Bhai Dooj. This is how the tying is supposed to be done. That, you know, when we tie it on Krishna Balaram, by the way, of course, when you tie it on brothers and sisters, that's a different story. But I'm saying when you tie it on deities, don't ever tie it with a view that this is my brother, my sister. We can't say that. Honestly speaking, we're not qualified to do that. But Subhadra is. So she's the sister. His wife is Varuni Devi, and also co-wife is Revati Devi. These are the two wives. And his other names are Balabhadra and Haladhara, because he actually carries the plow with him. It is described that Krishna loves his people so much, he gifted them two professions so that they can look after themselves. And those two professions are cow protection and agriculture. This is why Srila Prabhupada really promoted these two ideas, that we should always protect the cows and we should do agriculture ourselves, that we should actually get into this idea of agriculture. And by the world is going to move back towards agriculture, because life is not sustainable in the cities. It's messing up big time. It's causing so many issues that it is now described that most of the major cities in this world, the majority of the people in those cities are technically insane. You know, they become mentally unstable. They actually have to take guidance from psychiatrists, who, by the way, themselves are mentally unstable. So, you know, it's like the blind following the blind, right? It really doesn't work. That's why the only solution is us getting into Varnashrama with the idea that we will go back to the farms and build some farms so people can live in the rural arena where the air is so much crisper, where the water is so much cleaner, where you can take long walks and hikes and things like that and eat fresh vegetables and actually become much stronger and smarter in our lives. So it is described that Balaram is 16 years old and full of the luster of youth. Balaram is described as so beautiful that the word beauty comes from him. That's how beautiful he is. It's a very beautiful personality. And sometimes you see these wonderful paintings of Balaram, right? He's got this really beautiful white hue that's got a little bit of a golden luster on it and is very handsome. And when he wears that, you know, that blue dress, it really comes out strikingly. You know, it's really striking resemblance of of something that's a great gem, like a blue sapphire or something like that, you know. It's described that he has a fair complexion, the color of crystal. He has a fair complexion, the color of crystal. And wherever he walks, that place turns to the color of crystal. And that's how Radharani knows that this place has been traversed by Lord Balaram, so she sort of like, you know, moves in another direction. And of course, Balaram is the same. Whenever he sees where Radharani walks, that area becomes golden-hued colored, you know, Gaurangi colored. And so Balaram knows this is where Radharani is, so he doesn't go there himself. And it's described that he wears blue garments and a garland of forest flowers. Very, very natural person. Of course, he's carrying the plow, so he's a real farmer, you know, himself. He's from the farming stock, and he's always promoting that. So Lord Balaram is the first expansion, the first personal expansion of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All other incarnations expand from him. This is something that's a little hard to understand, because Krishna himself incarnates through Balaram as Krishna himself too. As Vasudev, he also comes through Balaram to become Vasudev, not directly himself expanding like that. It's amazing that this is Balaram's strength. Everything happens through him. So all spiritual energy for us, for anyone, comes from Lord Balaram. So today is the day when we pray to Lord Balaram, please bless us so that we may become Krishna conscious in a way that will please you unlimitedly and please Lord Krishna and Radharani unlimitedly and please Yoga Maya unlimitedly, because she's the one that Krishna hands all the power over to. So all the pastimes are happening by Yoga Maya's mercy. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila chapter 5, it is described that in Krishna's pastimes, he plays Krishna's elder brother. Together, Krishna and Balaram enact many pastimes as cowherd boys in the land of Vrindavan. Lord Balaram carries a plow and club and is known for his great strength, Balarama. Great strength like that. So I'm going to I'm just going to speak about some miscellaneous pastimes about Balaram, and then open up to all of you. If you'd like to say something about Balaram, we can do that. So after the mace fight between Bhimasen and Duryodhan, Balaram was prepared to kill Bhima for what he believed to be cheating. Because, you know, Bhima hit Duryodhan below the waist, right? And it's described in warfare, you're not supposed to do that, you know. And so he felt it was cheating. But he was stopped by Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna actually stopped Balaram. Had it not been for Krishna, Bhima would have been in big trouble with Lord Balaram. So Lord Balaram's wife, Revati, was born in a yuga, previous to the yuga that Bala was born in. Now, he's also called Bala, just Bala. People call him Bala as well. It's short. In Vrindavan, people have this a bit of a naughty streak in them. They shorten names. And I notice in America, people do the same as well. It's everything shortened, you know. It's like, no matter how short a name you give to somebody, you think I gave this person a one-syllable name, you know. They'll still find a way of shortening it, you know. Like, if you call him Cap or something, they'll call him K or something like that, you know. They'll shorten it even further. So, you know, but this is something that's also true of Vrindavan. So it's nice to know that America is following the example of Vrindavan Dham. So Lord Balaram's wife Revati was born in a yuga previous to the yuga of Bala. Of course, she was born in Satya Yuga, and he appeared in Dwapara Yuga. Therefore, when they met, she was taller than he. She was actually 50 feet tall. Revati was 50 feet tall, and Balaram himself is around 20 feet in height. He's about 20 feet in height. He's a little taller than Krishna. Krishna is about 18 in height. Bhima is the tallest, he's 21 feet in height. But he's also, well, actually he's described as 25 feet in height. His chest is described as 21 feet. If you wrap around his chest, Bhima is 21 feet. And that's how powerful he is. It says that he would give a punch and like 100 elephants would fall down. No, you can try punching one elephant. You can punch the elephant and fall down yourself, right? You know, that's how it happens in Kali Yuga. But this person was so powerful, Bhima was so powerful. Anyway, so what he did was he wanted to marry her, right? He fell in love with her and he wanted to marry her. And so to marry him, she had to reduce him to her height. So it's described here that Lord Balaram took his plow and pushed Revati down with the flat of it, thus making her short. So he sort of extended the plow high and high and high until it reached more than 50 feet, and then he yanked her down to a little shorter than him. So she became 18 feet and he was 20 feet. So now he could marry her, you know, because it's like it's a bit of a match. The husband's a little taller than the wife. Of course, it doesn't have to be like that. We've seen husbands having taller wives. Kali Yuga, it works out. This is a lecture given by Lokanath Swami in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 2nd chapter, verse 13 to 15, Anaheim, California. So these are compendiums. All of this is from scripture, by the way. In the pastime of Rathyatra, the reason that Lord Balaram appears with dilated eyes and shrunken limbs is because he's affected by the mood of separation that Radha and Krishna are feeling for each other. So it's actually he understands that separation. So his eyes dilate, as we can see. Krishna's eyes dilate too, right? Because he's feeling separation from Radharani in Vrindavan, and that's why his eyes are dilating like that. Balaram rides in the chariot known as Taladhwaja. So Balaram's chariot is known as Taladhwaja. Tala means rhythm. And dhwaja means insignia or distinguishing symbol. Insignia is the dhwaja. Rhythms are said to have originated from Lord Shiva's cosmic dance. And here his chariot is known as Dwaladhaja. The rhythm created by Balaram's huge moving chariot is said to produce an equally powerful and blissful sound. Amazing, huh? So many things we find out about Rath Yatra over a period of time. Rath Yatra is very, very important festival, you know. It's like in the spiritual world, they did Rasa Leela. For us, Rath Yatra is like Rasa Leela. That's the topmost a program to be part of, because it is the time when Lord Chaitanya has come to repay the debt of the gopis, because Krishna feels the burden of the debt of the gopis, because he told the gopis that I cannot repay you, so I can give you more service, and please consider service to be the repayment. And the gopis were like, what? What's that mean? More services, repayment. So then he comes himself as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He actually does repay that debt in the form of the Rath Yatra festival. And at that time it's described, he does kirtan that is so powerful, because kirtan is the in the spiritual world, in Golok Vrindavan, kirtan is the wealth of love. That's why that verse is there, right? Golokera prema dhana. Prema dhana means the wealth of love. Harinama sankirtan. And when Lord Chaitanya does kirtan, it said there was, I forget, it was 7 or 14 parties, right, that were doing kirtan simultaneously during the Rath Yatra. Anybody remember? Was it 7 parties or 14? It was seven parties simultaneously doing kirtan during the Rath Yatra. And then Lord Chaitanya was fulfilling everybody's desire and making them really happy for having become devotees of Radha and Krishna. So he was repaying their debt at that time. That's why it's a very important festival. So the four horses that pull Balaram's chariot, because Balaram's chariot is meant to be pulled by four horses. And those horses, the first is called Tivra. Tivra is called strength, right? The second horse is Ghora, which means constancy. The third is Dirgha. Dirgha means it's timeless. And the fourth is Shrama. Shrama is work. So strength, constancy, timelessness, and work. These four horses actually pull the ratha of Lord Balaram. Balaram's chariot in Orissa is 47 feet high and requires 763 pieces of wood to build. Daruka, the one who takes care of all, is Balaram's charioteer. This is from Jagannath Leela, pages 64 through 77. Lord Balaram is the beauty incarnation of the Lord. This is amazing, isn't it? You would have thought that Radharani is the beauty incarnation of the Lord, but actually it's Balaram who is the beauty incarnation. Now, Radharani is very beautiful. It is described that Krishna is beautiful only because Radharani is with him. Otherwise, Prabhupada says he's not really very beautiful. It's Balaram who is the real beauty guy. You know, he's the one who is beautiful. It's amazing how Prabhupada knew so many things, you know. And would tell us amazing things, and we think, wow. I mean, where would you hear a statement like that? He actually says, actually, Krishna is not very beautiful. And we know that one of the four distinguishing qualities of Krishna in the 64 qualities is his extraordinary beauty, right? And yet Prabhupada says, actually, Krishna is not very beautiful. But when Radharani is with Krishna, Krishna appears very beautiful. But Balaram is beautiful all the time. Anyway, this is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, page 168, that Lord Balaram is the beauty incarnation of the Lord. So in the funeral ceremony of Abhimanyu, the son of Arjuna, that was performed by Balaram, as he was the maternal uncle. So we can see that even the funeral ceremony in our lives, right, which sometimes we consider not very important, is actually very important. The final verse of the Shirshopanishad actually is about the funeral ceremony. It's about when we leave our bodies, there's a mantra we're supposed to chant before we leave our body. And that mantra says that, O Lord, you know everything that I've done in the past. Please forgive me for all of my offenses that I've committed, for everything that I've done in the past. And please lead me on the path that goes straight to you. And you're supposed to fall flat on the ground, and after that you're supposed to be burned. Well, most of us are not going to be able to do that. So we have a priest do that for us. So one other time that we can do that is when you do the Havan ceremony. When you do a fire sacrifice, you can chant the same prayer. At that time, we should chant it ourselves and say to Krishna, this is my prayer when my body is going into the chamber of fire. You know, in America, they put us into that chamber, right? And then there's a huge fire, and then it burns us to ashes in a very short period of time. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. So today is the Holy Parents' Day of the Original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Sri Balarama Ki Jai. Please, if anybody would like to say something. There's a mic there. We can actually... Hare Krishna. Anybody, Prabhu's? Madhijis?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for a beautiful class.
Thank you, Prabhu.
I just had a comment. I was... On Balaram's appearance, I was thinking of this. I was thinking of this, what I'll say. And then I was wondering if you wanted to just comment on it, because it's really sweet. That, of course, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, when he got the temple at Ramanreti, it's, of course, Krishna and Balaram's little playground, right? Because it's right. Soft sand.
Right.
Excuse me. And Srila Prabhupada did a drawing, or he ordered deities of Krishna and Balaram.
Yes.
So that Krishna has his hand on Balaram.
Right.
And Brahmananda points out in his book or in his lectures that this was pioneering. It's never been done.
Exactly.
There's no other Krishna Balaram deities in the universe. Srila Prabhupada was the first to do that.
Right. And yeah, then, Balaram lean on Krishna, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and it's so amazing. So today I was thinking of that in Vrindavan, how... And Srila Prabhupada made those are the center deities, and it's Krishna Balaram Mandir, you know? And it's Ramanreti, and how amazing that is, you know, because we emphasize Radha and Krishna. I remember when I first became a bhakta a long time ago, I asked, how is Balaram connected to Radharani? And it's taken years that it's finally been revealed sort of over time in my life, how he is related to her. But I just wanted to mention that because it's such a beautiful image.
Right.
And it's courtesy of Srila Prabhupada. And obviously, so just see if you want to...
Prabhupada was just a small comment. Prabhupada was a real ambassador for Golok Vrindavan. He actually made it very clear that Golok Vrindavan is non-different from Krishna. You know, that Vrindavan is non-different from Krishna. That Vrindavan is equally lovable to the devotee as Krishna is lovable. Like that. And we know that in Golok Vrindavan, there are 12 forests, right? In Vrindavan, Gokul Vrindavan, there are 12 forests. And of them, 7 forests are looked after by Balaram and his consorts and his gopis. And 5 of them are looked after by Krishna and Radharani. So if you're going to be in Vrindavan, the majority of the forests actually belong to Balaram, right? So putting Balaram in the center there with Krishna made a lot of sense. It actually established this point that Balaram is such a powerful lord. He has his own gopis. He does his own Rasa Leela. He does everything Krishna does. Balaram also does in his 7 forests. Now, Radharani doesn't go to those 7 forests. And, you know, Balaram does come over to this side, but she doesn't go there. But, you know, the point is that putting Krishna Balaram as the center deities of Jagannath, of Vrindavan, actually was a brilliant masterstroke by Srila Prabhupada. Brilliant masterstroke. Wonderful. And the thing that was also amazing was that Balaram was leaning on Krishna, right? Because generally it is described that Balaram is very powerful, but, you know, Prabhupada asked the devotees, who is more powerful, Krishna or Balaram? And everybody said, Balaram, you know? And Prabhupada said, no, look who's leaning on who. So since Balaram is leaning on Krishna, this Krishna is more powerful. It's really nice for Prabhupada to say that. Hare Krishna. Any other points anybody like to make? No? All right, thank you very much. All glories to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Jai Vanchakalpa Turubhascha Kripa Sandhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Sri Balaram Jayanti Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Kalachanji Ki Jai Shri Gaura Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai Nitai Gaura Pemanande Hari 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 Bol.